mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up, it's Good Mornings on the Go for Veterans Day at the Hancock County Fair. Veterans Service Office Executive Director Nicole Coleman talks about the special things happening for those who have served. Also coming up, folks have been gathering on these grounds since 1938, but the fair itself dates all the way back to 1852. Just one tidbit of our community's fascinating past on display by Love Findlay History at the fair. And in our community and business spotlight, it's another celebration of agriculture. The Hancock Historical Museum is gearing up for their historic barn tour. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, August 28th, 2024. I don't know about you, but I was like confused all day yesterday because I was thinking it was Wednesday because the fair had started. We're here at the fair, which is normally opening day is Wednesday, but this year, of course, with a revised schedule, we were here yesterday. So all day long, I was thinking it was Wednesday, and today I'm thinking it's Thursday, but it's not. It's Wednesday. It's going to mess me up all the way through the holiday weekend. I'm not sure. A couple of things among the first things you need to know this morning. Most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. If you have a son or daughter at UT, the University of Toledo, you might have heard about this. I want to mention it because I saw it on the Newswire because everything is fine. You might have heard something about this in passing and been worried about it. UT students yesterday were alerted to the report of an active aggressor on campus. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. It doesn't say active shooter, just an active aggressor on campus, and students were directed to take proactive actions. The social media post went out from University of Toledo police around 2:20 in the afternoon yesterday as officers were responding to a location on the health science campus. When they got there, though, they discovered that the report that they had received was false. So a bit of a swatting situation. About 10 minutes later, the cops advised students that the situation was all clear. So a few anxious moments if you, again, have a son or daughter at UT yesterday, but everything is fine. It was not a big deal. It was a big, fat lot of nothing, but no more details than that. A couple of other items here on the Newswire that I saw that are worth mentioning. The Ohio Turnpike. I don't know how often you drive the Turnpike, but they are suspending late fees and collections due to an uptick in phone calls. This is the story. The Ohio Turnpike Commission says unpaid toll invoices were sent out to, I guess, thousands of Ohioans who hadn't paid their tolls. And because all of these unpaid toll invoices were sent out at the same time, it has caused the customer service center to experience a massive increase in the number of phone calls. And so they haven't been able to handle all of the phone calls they've been getting from people to either pay or have questions about paying and all of that. So for now, the Turnpike Commission says those who receive the notices will not be subject to late fees, collections, or Ohio BMV registration holds. If you don't pay your turnpike fees, they can actually suspend your license plates on your car. But they're not going to do that for now. It doesn't say for how long this moratorium will last. Those who need to discuss an invoice with a customer service rep are urged to do so by visiting their website at easypassohio.com. E-Z, the letters easypassoh.com. And click on the Contact Us tab. So again, I don't know how often you drive the Ohio Turnpike, but if you do, make note of that. Maybe you got one of those notices. I saw this story, and I thought, you know, we often make fun of people in Detroit, in Michigan generally, and Detroit specifically. We often have a chuckle at their expense. So I suppose that we should give them credit where credit is due. And speaking of driving and automobile issues, Folks in Detroit standing out nationally for steering clear of drunk driving violations. A recent survey shows that residents in Detroit are taking penalties and increased insurance rates seriously. Detroit is ranked dead last on the list of DUI rates in the nation, or first for the lowest rate of DUI in the nation. Detroit, Michigan. It's the best in the nation when it comes to DUI. Keeping the rate low may be that Detroit drivers face the highest increases in auto insurance premiums after a DUI. This is a report from LendingTree, finds that the annual auto insurance premiums with a DUI on your record in the city of Detroit, close to, are you ready for this, $14,000. Wow. That'd be your auto insurance rate. If you get pulled over for DUI in Detroit, you can expect to pay $14,000 annually for your car insurance. That'd scare me sober, too. The rate with no DUI, just over $6,000, which is not cheap, but, I mean, that's more than double if you get a DUI on your record, and that may be one of the reasons why many people don't in Detroit. So that's good for you, folks in the Motor City. By the way, Raleigh, North Carolina has the highest DUI rate, according to this study. So kind of interesting. And a couple of other items among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Let's see here. Oh, former President Trump is offering you the chance to own a piece of the suit that he wore during his infamous debate with President Biden. The now infamous debate that triggered the downslide on the Democratic ticket that saw Joe Biden eventually drop out of the race. Former President Trump now offering the chance to own a piece of the suit that he wore during that debate. So, here's the deal. Trump announced on Truth Social a digital trading card series called the America First Collection. These are those NFTs, digital trading cards. Mr. Trump has done this before, but this is the latest series of digital trading cards called the America First Collection. It includes 50 new Trump images. And this is the kicker. Anyone who buys 15 or more of the digital trading cards will receive a physical card or a physical memento that features a small piece of the suit that he wore during his debate back in June with Joe Biden. Now, a couple of things jumped out at me here on this. First of all, I don't know many people other than Donald Trump who could afford to like wear that suit once and then cut it up and give it away as mementos. But the other thing worth noting is that to get a piece of the suit, you have to buy 15 or more of the digital trading cards, and they'll set you back $99 each. Each. So we're talking about, what, $1,500 in digital trading cards you would have to buy in order to get a piece of the suit. Which I wonder how much the suit cost. Did it cost $1,500? I don't know. Anyway, maybe that's why he was willing to cut it up into tiny little pieces. By the way, if you were to purchase all 75 if you were to purchase 75 of the cards, there are 50 different images. If you were to purchase 75 cards, so you'd have some repeats in there, I guess. If you were to purchase 75 cards, you would get an opportunity to join former President Trump at a special dinner at his country club in Florida. And presumably, you'd also get a piece of the suit. So, if you are interested, I just want to point that out. I'll tell you one thing. If nothing else, I mean, however you feel about Donald Trump, he knows how to turn a buck, doesn't he? I mean, he knows how to get people to part with their money. There's no question about that. And lastly this morning, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. We're coming up on Labor Day, and we talk about being the last big travel weekend of the summer season and so on, and a number of people are going to be traveling. We were talking yesterday about people who, would feel like they don't have enough adventure in their lives. Well, there is an app for that. It is called Randomnautica. Randomnautica. It is an app that generates random points for adventurers to travel to. Just a random, you ask it to pick a spot to go, and it spits out a random adventure for you. It has been making the rounds on social media. Some content creators set their journeys to creepy sites. I guess you can kind of specialize it. You can go someplace, adventurous, someplace historical, someplace creepy, or whatever it might happen to be. So, I don't know, if you're interested, if you want, just some sort of random adventure, and that's what being adventurous is you just never know what awaits you around the next corner. It is the Randonautica app, and you can search for it. I think it's available for both iPhone and Android devices. That's what you need. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started. Good morning's on the go today at the Hancock County Fair, day number two, which is still just weird on a Wednesday to say day number two of the Hancock County Fair, but here we are. Some of the highlights of today's schedule: the open class baked goods auction at 5 o'clock at the Grange Building. So you want to get some goodies, 5 o'clock at the Grange Building for the open class baked goods auction. Harness racing at the South Grandstands at 6 p.m. That is free with fair admission. And the calf scramble at 7:30 in the North Grandstand, and that also free admission. Also, as we mentioned, it is Veterans Day. And Hancock County Veterans Service Office Executive Director Nicole Coleman is with us bright and early here on the fairgrounds to talk about all of the details. First of all, free admission for veterans today.
Yes, thanks for having me on, Chris. So veterans do get in for free today. That includes those who are still serving.
Okay.
So they need to have a valid federal or state veterans ID card or Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Card.
If
they don't have a state veterans ID card, it is too late to get it for today, but you can come to our office and get it tomorrow so that you know you have it for next year.
Okay, fair enough. So don't forget your ID when you come to the fair. And for veterans, there are a lot of things going on. You've got a whole slate of activities and things happening through the day.
Yeah, so we have added things over the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that happens, starting at 10 o'clock, we will have coffee and donuts while supplies last, since this is the first time we've done this. my guess is it might not last super long because I wasn't sure how much to get.
That's always the big thing,
right?
Is how do you gauge what kind of response you're going to get?
Exactly. Yeah. So, but we used all local places. So we've got some cold brew and hot coffee coming from We Serve Coffee, Coffee Amici, and Baker's Cafe. And then we've got donuts coming from the bakery at Great Scott on Broad Avenue.
Okay.
So those will be available at 10.
Okay.
And then starting around 11:30 or 12, we will have lunch vouchers that are good for $7 at select vendors.
Okay.
So you can go out and get your lunch.
So get your fix of fair food.
Correct. You could bring that lunch back into the Millstream Building, where that's where we're set up at all day today. So
yeah.
The air-conditioned building.
Right.
You can come out, get your food, bring it in, and then eat it in there with us. That's a great time to meet with veterans of all different ages, as
yeah.
well as engage with all of our staff. If you've been wondering, am I eligible for this new VA clinic that's moving to Findlay, or what about this PACT Act that passed a couple years ago? All the people are going to be right there to be able to answer your questions.
Still a lot of questions about all of those details on
right.
both of those issues. Those are big things for veterans.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So that's the lunchtime. Then starting at 2 o'clock, we will have AWOL playing, which is the Guitars for Vets band.
Okay.
So they have a 45-minute set that they'll be offering. And then at 3 o'clock, Reverb will be playing for close to 2 hours. 5 o'clock, we will have a veterans recognition ceremony, followed by supper from Heavenly Pizza.
Awesome. And again, all of this is at the Old Millstream Center.
Correct.
And because it is one of the few air-conditioned locations on the fairgrounds, I'm imagining that that is going to be a very popular place to be. Yeah, I know it was yesterday, folks ducking in there for a little relief. And today, not quite as hot as yesterday, but it's still going to be plenty warm. So.
Yeah. And I do want to mention also that we will have other veteran service organizations in there.
Okay.
As well as there are 3 tables going to be set up from the VA clinic to help answer questions, get people registered, those types of things. So this is a great asset for anyone that they want to ask a question specifically to the VA clinic.
Mm-hmm.
They will be right here.
They will actually be here. Can
Correct.
Answer those questions in the first person.
Yes.
That is good to know. Beyond just Veterans Day, we also should mention when it comes to getting information for local veterans, you are, again, set up in the Merchants Building, right in front of the first booth when you walk in, you'll see the Veteran Service Office in the Merchants Building.
Yes. So if you're from around here, it's the old Groman's spot where the piano used to be.
Yeah.
But we've been there for several years now.
Well, that's a blast for the past right there.
Yeah, because we've been there for several years now. So we will be there. We were there yesterday, and we will be there the remainder of the fair, just not today. All of our staff will be in the old Millstream Center today.
Okay. So it's a great opportunity to recognize veterans and thank them for their service and all of that. But also, as you mentioned, because there are so many things going on, such a terrific opportunity for some fellowship and, meeting new people. And you've often said on this program that people should talk with you folks at Hancock County Veterans Services at least once every year or two, just to make sure that you've got all of the latest information. So.
Yeah, we say at least once every 3 years, because there's 3 things that can change: your health, the laws, and your finances. Mm-hmm. And if any one of those things change, it can impact what benefits you're eligible for, whether it be local, state, or federal.
And again, case in point, we've got the VA clinic coming. We've got the PACT Act, which was recently passed, and again, still sorting through all of that. So, these are reasons, just a couple of reasons why you want to connect with Hancock County Veterans Services.
Yeah, and I want to make sure we mention also, we would love for surviving spouses and family members of veterans to stop in and ask questions, because oftentimes that first step in a relationship with a veteran comes through a family member. And there are also a lot of benefits we can provide to surviving spouses.
Very good. And by the way, we talk about all of the entertainment with Guitars for Vets and Reverb going to be performing. Anyone can stop in, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, this isn't just for veterans. They're not going to check IDs at the door and lock
Absolutely.
The gates when they start. So.
Right, except for the supper. The supper is just for veterans and their families.
We don't want to steal their food.
Right. So from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock is just for veterans.
And that those performances are kind of one of the reasons why, especially with Guitars for Vets, you really encourage the general public to drop in and see, see them perform and all of that. You actually encourage that.
Absolutely, because it's about the community and the veterans bonding.
Yeah.
And not being separated, but unified.
And that's part of what Guitars for Vets is all about.
Absolutely.
That program.
Yeah, so, because a lot of our Guitars for Vets instructors are local civilians who play guitar.
Yeah.
And the connections that have been formed just have been very restorative.
And if you're not familiar with the Guitars for Vets program, it is a tremendous resource for local veterans.
Yeah, they get 10 free guitar lessons with that instructor. Then when they graduate, they get a brand new guitar. And then they have this core group of people that they can meet with one or two times a month, and they practice songs or practice playing the string or changing the strings on their guitars, those types of things.
Yeah.
And it just brings that camaraderie back that they miss from being in the military.
Yeah. So Veterans Day here at the fair, all kinds of things going on. And if you want to learn more about all of the details and such, you can go to the fairgrounds website. And also on your website, you have more information this as well, right?
Yep, HancockVeterans.com.
Very good. Again, Hancock County Veterans Service Office Executive Director Nicole Coleman with us on the grounds this morning, gearing up for Veterans Day at the fair. Nicole, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
Putting the Hancock Historical Museum in the spotlight this morning for their annual historic barn tour, which is coming up here in the very near future. Sarah Foltz is with us from the museum. I said annual. Is it an annual? Is this an annual thing, or this is every other
year? Actually, every other year, yeah.
So that makes it even more special. Tell us about this.
We are so excited. So this is one of those things, like you said, every other year. So it's even more exciting when it comes around, and you don't want to miss the opportunity to go. But coming up on Saturday, September 7th, our historic barn tour. And this is an opportunity to see behind the scenes of six historic barns here in Hancock County. And it's just especially exciting because these barn owners take so much pride in this opportunity. And many of these farms have been in the same family for generations. And to see their stewardship of these structures is just, it's something to see.
You know, it is interesting you bring that up, because we've talked about this before, the fact that the barns have so much history to tell. But it really is a good point that these are more than just historical artifacts. They're also family heirlooms in many cases.
They really are. And we, not that it's a competition by any means, but some of these families have received state designations for their farms, and they take a lot of pride in that, as they should. And it's important to celebrate that and to see how they've kept these structures that were, you know, most of these structures have been, they were built by hand. Mm-hmm. The oldest barn we have on the tour was built, it's likely it was built before the Civil War. And just to see them still using them actively and to learn the story of how it once was used, to learn who used to own the properties and how they were used and how we're using them now.
Right.
It's just a really unique experience.
Yeah, there's sometimes quite an evolution. Sometimes they're still used for the purpose that they were originally built for, but then other times, in some cases, they're repurposed. But the one thing that they all have in common is the incredible craftsmanship.
Absolutely. And that's something that you learn along the tour, and you learn even whether you grew up on a farm or you've never even seen the inside of a barn before. It's really cool. And we make sure that everyone that comes through can learn some of the verbiage, the terminology, how these structures were built. And it's really cool when you start to learn how you can look up at these beams and you can tell, okay, that was built by hand. And then you can start to see, this is probably the time frame when they started using the very first sawmills, and you just see that whole transition.
They definitely can tell a story, to be sure. So tell us a little bit about the barns that are in the tour this year, because it's not the same barns every year. We are blessed to have so many great historic barns throughout the area.
You're right. We have an impressive number of historic barns in Hancock County, so we are able to switch them up every time we host this tour. So the six historic barns we have this year are the southern end of Hancock County. So you're looking at the Genera and Rawson area.
Okay.
The nice thing is that all of these barns are very close in proximity to each other, so it's not a lot of driving from one step to the other. You can see the whole map on our website as well. And then each barn is paired with several activities too. So as you're touring through the southern side of Hancock County, you're going to come across a number of things, whether that's food vendors, live music, farmers market types of vendors, some artists, and we have a little beer and root beer tasting along the way too. We're
very
excited about that.
Very good. This is a self-guided tour.
Yes. Yes. With the six barns, you can start at any one and then go in any order. And since the event runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's a great opportunity to just make a day out of it. Take your time at your leisure.
Let me see. 10 to 4, that's 6 hours and six barns, so you can spend an hour at each.
Exactly.
There you go. And you probably could spend an hour at each.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything. Now, if folks want to partake of the historic barn tour, tickets are required. You can get those now.
Yes, those are available right now. You can get them at HancockHistoricalMuseum.org or stop into the museum. We also make sure this is an opportunity, an educational opportunity for all ages. So ages 16 and under are actually free, no ticket required.
Okay.
17 and up, it's just $10 a ticket. It's best to get them pre-sale. You save a little bit of money, but we will sell them the day of. So even if you stop by one of the barns, you can get in.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if you wake up that morning on the 7th and say, hey, I'm up for a barn tour, up for a little road trip, you know, in southern Hancock County, you can get the tickets at any of the barns. You can start, again, you can start at any of the barns.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. How do folks get more information? You mentioned the map is up there on the website, and you can buy tickets online too, right?
Yep, you are right. HancockHistoricalMuseum.org. And before you purchase your tickets, you can also browse all of the different activities that will be on the tour. Learn a little bit about the barns before you head out there too. And then you'll be all set. Bring your ticket to any of the barns and we'll get you started.
Again, Sarah Foltz is with us from the Hancock Historical Museum. Their historic barn tour is coming up on September 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sarah, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
As we mentioned earlier, folks have been gathering here on these grounds for the Hancock County Fair since 1938. The fair itself dates all the way back to 1852. Rob Tong is with us here this morning at the Hancock County Fair. He's got all kinds of great history on display at the Love Findlay History Display. You're in the Merchants Building here at the fairgrounds, right?
Yeah, I'm in number 33, so okay. I finally got in the big building, which is a nice thing. But there's so many people talking about history, and just like you were saying about the barn tour, a lot of these people go back many, many generations
right.
at the same location, mm-hmm. and they bring in all this amazing stuff that we talk about, and it's a good way to educate the public, put it that way. So.
Well, it's, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, the love for the community, which is what the fair is all about, and all of the history and the tradition. And I know the Love Findlay History is a Facebook page that you started. Is really a project that is a labor of love for you.
Yeah, obviously I was very active with the Historical Museum for 20 some years.
Mm-hmm.
But really the schools aren't educating the local history like I like.
Yeah.
And it seems like social media is a great way to do it.
Sure.
So in the last little over 2 years, we've got almost 9,000 people.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, every day I put something about Hancock County history. And it's not only Facebook, but we've got TikTok as well. So okay. A lot of social media is the way people do advertising today.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's the way you know people connect. And it's so cool because you can share, you know, some of those images from the past and you know, they come from picture postcards, people's photographs, their personal mementos. I know you've got a huge collection of that. And so it really is fascinating. If you don't follow Love Findlay History, we encourage you to do so. And we were just talking a little bit before we went on here. There is some incredible Findlay history regarding these very fairgrounds itself. Like, for example, as we said, this was not the original fairgrounds
right.
back in 1852, I think was the first year of the fair. That was a grounds on Fair Street,
yeah,
which kind of makes sense. I guess that's how it got its name.
Well, and really, since the beginning of Findlay history, the fair has moved 5 different times.
Okay.
Yes, this was 1938, but you had one on Fair Street, the original. You
yeah.
had one at Blanchard, at the corner of Blanchard and 37, where the drive-through is right now. That was also turned into a training camp during the Civil War.
Oh, wow.
You had all along Country Club Drive.
Okay.
I mean, that was the fairground. So, I mean, it's moved 5 different times, and it's the evolution of it's really cool.
That's interesting. There along Country Club Drive, so close to Riverside Park, which
exactly.
I guess at the time probably made a lot of sense because that's where people gathered at then that era.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And I mean, that is an example. Everything ties into everything, but like the very, very
yeah.
first airplane to land in Findlay, Ohio, landed at the fairgrounds there along Country Club Drive before
huh.
any of those houses were built up.
obviously. Yeah, that's really cool. And this, the grounds that we're on now, as we mentioned, have been the Hancock County Fairgrounds since 1938. Now, right. Obviously, it's grown and expanded since then. You were talking about some of what this ground was before it was the Hancock County Fairgrounds.
Well, a lot of people know about Tail Taylor and his music down by the Old Mill Stream.
Right.
His red house is right at the main entrance to the original
Right, they're off Sandusky. Right.
But Dr. Olsterlin owned that house before he did, and he's truly the guy that discovered natural gas and high-pressure gas. Right behind the Merchants Building here is that first true well that made Findlay, Ohio famous.
Again, that is interesting history because we know the story of the Karg well.
Yeah.
But this was not that. This was even before the Karg well.
That created high pressure gas.
Okay.
Drilling 8 to 1,000 feet.
Started the boom.
It started the boom, and that changed the entire history of Northwest Ohio.
And that site is right at the back of the Merchants Building.
There's a fence surrounding it. There's a plaque still up there, and very, very few people know about it.
Interesting.
There was a railroad track that ran through the fairgrounds. Where the fish lock entrance is to the fairgrounds was actually one of the glass factories. It was called the Hancock Flint Bottle Company. So there was 25 glass factories in Findlay.
Wow.
Second in the entire world for production.
Hmm.
And few people know that today.
Yeah. So again, there's a lot of incredible history even right here on the fairgrounds itself, or what is now the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
That, again, I don't know that I've ever noticed the well out back of the Merchants Building.
Yeah, you know? and truly, when you're talking, like, say, a 4 to 6 inch diameter pipe, and you drill to the natural gas, and it's coming out with such force that it sounds as if you're standing right beside Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
You're talking unbelievable amounts of gas.
That's wild. You also, so people can learn, you know, all of those fascinating, interesting tidbits. They stop by and talk with you at the Merchants Building here. But you also have a lot of information about Findlay's history in the automobile industry.
Yeah, a lot of the little towns all over the United States, if they had a buggy factory, a lot of those buggy companies would mount engines on their buggies.
In the early days.
And the next thing, they turned it into an automobile. That's why you had well over 1,000 car companies at the turn of the century. But Findlay, Ohio made a wonderful little car called the Grant Automobile. And I'm blessed enough to have one in my collection. 1914, this car was rated at 55 mile an hour and still cranking out 30-some mile
a
gallon.
Have you ever tested that?
Well, at 40-some, it's got a little bit of a shake.
A bit of a shake?
Yeah.
A bit of a shake.
And just like a buggy has a fold-down top, there's a certain point where I just want to be safe about it, put it that way. But
yeah, because seat belts were not really a thing.
But they were really so fast. A lot of they only made like 3,033 cars initially. And a lot of them, they would remove the fenders, the hoods, the bodies, the trunks, and it made them even faster because the weight was off of them, and they turned them into race cars. So there's only about 12 left in the world, but I'm blessed enough to love Findlay history enough to own a couple.
That is amazing. Go back and underscore what you just said. There are only like a dozen of them remaining known to exist.
Yeah.
You talk about some incredible Findlay history right there.
Yeah, and just like Henry Ford with the Model T Fords, as production started going through, his backers were wanting him to build bigger cars, bigger six-cylinder engines instead of four, and that's what the Grant Company did. They ended up leaving Findlay in 1916, and they moved to Cleveland. And by late 1921, pretty much they were bankrupt. But while they were in Findlay, they were a multiple million-dollar company.
Wow. It is amazing history. And one of the things that you were telling me, the mission of what you do with the Love Findlay History Project is to keep these stories alive.
Yeah. I'll post a picture of a house from, say, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And I might document information from the first homeowner. Mm-hmm. But that house has had 20 different homeowners.
Yeah.
And every one of them has different history. Mm-hmm. So we just don't want to forget that. We want the next generation, when we're dead and gone, we want that next generation to remember what we did.
Yeah.
And that's what the site does, is it promotes local history.
And if you think about it, thank goodness previous generations had that same attitude, or we wouldn't know these stories today.
Yeah.
What stories do we now know that might be lost in the future?
And what's nice with the Facebook site is when you've got 9,000 people out there, I'll say something and everybody else tells a different story, and we all learn a little bit different that way.
Interesting stuff. So if you get the chance today, make sure that you stop by and see the Love Findlay History Display at the fair. A lot of great memorabilia there, and great stories as well. Rob, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you.
Rob Tong, Love Findlay History with us this morning. And by the way, you can learn more at our webpage. We've got it linked up at goodmornings.net if you want to go to the Facebook page.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A Colorado man says he keeps getting Trump T-shirts in the mail that he never ordered. The man, this is his story. He's only identified by his first name, Rick. And he tells local news reporters in Denver that on Tuesday, he shared his story with local reporters on Tuesday. He said back in mid-July, he started receiving T-shirts and button-up sports jerseys with Trump 2024 on the front, emblazoned on the shirts, campaign shirts. And there's a picture of Trump on the back with the words, "Chillin' like a felon." Rick said he then started getting the shipments about every 2 to 3 days. He kept getting more and more of these shirts delivered to his home. He said he now has about 20 of them in all. He said he believes what he thinks is going on is that people have ordered these and they are trying to return them to the Donald Trump campaign online store, but the QR code to return the products is actually mislabeling the returns to his address. So he's got all these returned Trump shirts. He said he would just like it to stop. The story doesn't say whether he is a Trump supporter or not, but I would imagine if it doesn't stop soon, he might vote for anyone else. You know? Nobody needs that many Trump shirts. This is rather disturbing from the International File. A surgeon in Austria has been accused of allowing his teenage daughter to drill a hole into a patient's skull. The 33-year-old alleged victim in the case needed an operation after an accident back in January and was taken to Graz University Hospital. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. I'm not from Austria, so I don't know. Graz University Hospital. In April, an anonymous tip resulted in a police investigation, and as a result, the surgeon in charge of this man's emergency operation has now been accused of allowing his 13-year-old to help. She actually drilled the hole in the patient's skull. Specialist Manfred Bogner says an operating theater belongs to people who have a job to do there and no one else. Yeah, I would think that would be a very bad decision. Very bad decision. Allow your 13-year-old. Here, honey, why don't you drill the hole in this man's skull? Wow. Let's see. Back on this side of the pond. Police in Newport Beach, California. Now, if you're familiar with Southern California, Newport Beach is a pretty ritzy section of suburban Los Angeles, in the L.A. area. I don't know if it's actually suburban Los Angeles. We call it suburban L.A.? It's in the L.A. area. Anyway, police in Newport Beach are looking for three armed men who attempted to carjack first a Rolls-Royce SUV and then a Ferrari in the parking lot of the Fashion Island Mall. According to the victims, it happened when one of the men pointed a gun at the driver of the Rolls, took his watch, and attempted to take his SUV, while another one of the three tried to take a nearby yellow Ferrari. eventually, at some point, shots were fired, striking the window of the Ferrari as the driver sped away. He was injured by broken glass, but not struck by the bullets. In the end, they didn't get away with any of the vehicles. Police say the three robbers took off in a blue Kia sedan and are still on the loose. Yeah, that sounds like a Kia may be more their speed. You know, that's... with a Rolls Royce and a Ferrari. Okay. Couple of other items in the broken news this morning. A Florida woman. Always a story in Florida in the broken news. A Florida woman has been arrested after prancing around naked in full view of guests at a neighbor's birthday party. The neighbor alleges that Ms. Grace Ann Sharp, age 56, walked up to a chain-link fence that separated their properties and, I guess, stripped down to her birthday suit. This according to the police report obtained by local news reporters. When the neighbor asked Ms. Sharp if she was aware that she was naked, and I would ask, do you realize it's a chain-link fence, not a privacy fence? You know, one's solid and the other isn't. One would shield your nakedness from view. The other obviously would not. When the neighbor asked Ms. Sharp if she was aware that she was naked, she replied, quote, "I know, it's hot outside." Which sounds perfectly reasonable. I mean, it was hot the other day, and so I get it, but apparently they had to shuffle the kids at the birthday party inside out of view, and it was a real mess. I know, it's hot outside. And finally, in the broken news this morning, you wouldn't think that blowing bubbles would get you into trouble with the law. I mean, you know, you think that's pretty much good, clean fun, right? Well, this story will burst your bubble, as it were. Park rangers in San Diego recently slapped Sandy Snakenberg, known as the Bubble Man, with a ticket for liquid littering. That's right, liquid littering. Sandy C. is a disabled veteran who runs a nonprofit business called Bubble World, and he has been performing his bubble magic in the park for years. But a park ranger recently tagged him a liquid litter bug. Basically, Sandy says, the ranger said that when the bubbles pop, the residue of the bubbles fall onto the ground and kill the grass. Because it's soapy water. It can kill the grass. Sandy says he is fully in compliance with all ordinances, and he is also registered with the San Diego Department of Parks and Recreation. But that did not stop the ranger from citing him for liquid littering. The citation report says the citation does not carry a specific fine, but rather a court appearance date, which is coming up in October. So he can't even actually pay a fine and be done with it. He's actually got to go to court and defend himself in this liquid littering charge. Mr. Snakenberg says regardless, the ticket will not stop him from doing what he loves and sharing it with the community. You go, Sandy. You go. Let me tell you, that is just liquid littering. Come on, man. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When local news breaks, you can hear about it on social media at lightning speed. And while getting you the information fast is important, WFIN will always present the story only after verifying with actual sourced facts. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Trust the voice that's been covering the news in Findlay and Hancock County for more than 80 years. You can depend on us to get the story right every time. On social media, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and at 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. 60% of retirees plan to or already have reinvented themselves. The survey of 2,000 Americans who have retired or will retire before the end of this decade found that 59% are planning to travel more during retirement than they did during their working years. I was actually a little surprised it's only 59%. I mean, isn't that kind of the idea in retirement? You get to travel more? Respondents to this survey said the biggest roadblocks to travel have been historically a lack of budget and job flexibility. 31% of retirees have their sights set on Europe, going to Europe maybe for the first time. The reality is, and this survey was commissioned by IHG Hotels and Resorts, Connor Smith from IHG says, the reality is people put their careers and their families first. So in their retirement era, it is kind of inspiring to see them live their best lives. So breaking down some of the numbers here, again, these are adults, U.S. adults, who have retired or plan to retire by 2029. 26% said their younger self would love to live their current life. 60% have done or plan to do a retirement reinvention, as we mentioned, and 40% have taken or will take a trip specifically to celebrate their retirement. I know for me, that's the very first thing I'm planning to do when I retire is take a trip. You know, take especially one of those long trips, like a 2 or 3 week trip, the kind that you can't really take while you have a job. Yeah, 40% have or will do just that. And where do recent retirees want to travel? As we mentioned, 31% say Europe. But this is kind of interesting. 59% are happy just to travel and explore within the United States. And 23% say they want to travel in North America, but outside the USA. Think Canada, Mexico, internationally, but not so much Europe. I don't know. I may have to go and get breakfast here in just a bit. Things starting to come to life here at the Hancock County Fairgrounds, and I think some of those breakfast sandwiches are calling my name over there at the Cattlemen's. And the Cattlemen are so nice to let us, you know, kind of hang out on their patio in front of the pavilion here. So I may have to visit the trailer over there and get some. Yesterday, I mentioned my wife and I were here at the fairgrounds yesterday, and it was warm. It was a little toasty, and we went over to the Cattlemen's. I had one of their burgers, just absolutely fabulous stuff. And I noticed on their menu board that they were selling hot chocolate. I don't think they sold too many hot chocolates yesterday here at the fair. But they were quick to point out, but that was more for breakfast. But even at breakfast time, I'm not sure that they sold too much hot chocolate yesterday. It is Veterans Day today at the fair. By the way, we were talking about that a little bit earlier with Nicole Coleman, and they've got special things going on in the Old Millstream building, which is air-conditioned for the veterans. They've got breakfast this morning, and they're going to have dinner later on. And if you're a veteran, you can drop by for a voucher and get some fair food for lunch so you can spend the entire day here. And it's free admission for veterans with proper ID as well. So, you know, if you're a veteran, today is your day. At the fair. Gates are open now, and here's the rundown of the schedule. I want to make sure that we get through this at least once here. The Junior Fair Swine Show about to get underway, along with the Junior Fair Light Horse Show, those at 8 o'clock. Then at 9, the Dog Agility, the Junior Fair Dog Agility Show at the Recker Arena. Also, open class judging in the Grange Building of woodworking, baking, cookie jars, and hobbies and collectibles. They had some of the judging in the open class yesterday. The rest of it is happening today. Let's see here. At 11 o'clock, the Youth Pavilion, they're doing family fun with Family and Consumer Sciences, the OSU Hancock County OSU Extension. They're going to be here a little bit later on to join us and talk more about some of what they have going on today. The Junior Fair Draft Horse Show at noon, Poultry Showmanship at 1. Also, again, in the Youth Pavilion, the 4-H program will be featuring a program on the heart with the 4-H's. Heart is one of those, so that's the highlight today. That at 1 o'clock. Let's see here. Guitars for Vets will be performing in the Mini Park at 1 o'clock. The Junior Fair Rabbit Showmanship at 3 at the at the NWO Arena. And also at 3, the Open Class Draft Farm Show at the North Grandstands. The Open Class Baked Goods Auction is at 5 o'clock this evening. We mentioned that a little bit earlier. You want some yummy stuff, Baked Goods Auction in the Grange Hall at 5 o'clock, in the Grange Building, rather. And then Harness Racing in the South Grandstands at 6. That is free admission with your fair admission, free with the fair admission to the South Grandstands for Harness Racing tonight. 6:30, the Pee Wee Swine Showmanship at the NWO Arena. So that should be a lot of fun. And then at 7:30 this evening, the Calf Scramble in the North Grandstand. And again, that is a free event with your fair admission as well. So that is the rundown of all of the activities that are highlighted on the schedule here at the Hancock County Fair. Again, remember that the easiest way to get into the fair is with an advance admission ticket. On your mobile device, you can get your tickets online. Not all of the gates are accepting cash. Most of the, I know the ones off of Fishlock are accepting cash for fair admission, but some of the walk-in gates are not. So depending on where you enter the fairgrounds, you may actually have to buy your tickets online in advance, but you can go to the Hancock Fairgrounds website, which we have linked up at goodmornings.net for all of those details. And I did not know this. They actually have an app. There is actually even an app for that, the Hancock County Fair. You can search for it on the App Store or Google Play and download the app for a full fair map. And I guess they've got a rundown on where all the food is and everything else. So it is really cool. So download that app and you'll be all set. So along with all of the regular activities and shows and everything that's on the schedule that we were mentioning a little bit earlier here for the second day of the Hancock County Fair, the Hancock County OSU Extension and 4-H have a lot of fun for kids and families, especially for the kids, to do and explore when visiting the fair today. And Edie Gerke is with us from the Hancock County OSU and Extension and 4-H, and you've got the STEM bus coming today.
Yeah, from Ohio State.
Yeah.
They're coming down to do a lot of great activities.
So for those who are not familiar, what is the STEM bus?
So Ohio State has taken a great focus on STEM, and they have iPads, Sphero balls. They've had, it's kind of like a 3D printer with a pen to mimic what you've drawn on an iPad, and a lot of great activities just to increase interest in STEM and show kids
all the cool
things they can do.
So this is all, what's the cool part about this really is the fact that it's hands-on. You've got this big bus.
Yeah.
It'll be right there up front, and all of these great hands-on activities.
Definitely. At 10 a.m. today, they're going to open up. A representative from Ohio State will be here to do a variety of activities so kids can get their hands on some things.
And it's going to be here for, like, all day then? Or
We're not sure. At least until noon, maybe probably 2 o'clock, but depending on the heat and how the bus is holding up with the technology.
Gotcha. Yeah, very, very good point. So make sure that when you are here today, you stop by. You can't miss the bus.
Definitely not.
You're not going to be able to miss the bus. But make sure that the kids get on board, because this is open to everyone. It's not just for 4-H or anything like that.
Correct. Anybody can come. Kids, family, everybody is welcome on to check it out. Yeah,
and it's all free. Yeah. So definitely something to check out. That's one of the highlights. You also have some other activities that are going on today involving the 4-H program, but again, open for everybody.
Yes. So today at 11, our FCS educator educator Jennifer Little mm-hmm. is going to be teaching about My Plate, teaching about nutrition so kids can learn a little bit about what they should have. And then at 1
now,
o'clock...
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to jump in here because they're going to be surrounded by all this fair food.
Yes.
So, and they're going to be teaching them about what they should and should not be eating. So... some of this may seem conflicting information.
It's,
you know,
something
what I mean?
Practical to take home with them for
there
a more
go.
Everyday
okay.
basis. This is a special event this week.
That's
so
right.
You have
so
a little fun.
These calories don't count.
Exactly,
all of this
right?
stuff doesn't
they're
count.
The fair
yeah.
calories. That's, they don't come home with
that's
you.
That's what we always...
exactly.
You know, the mindset that we always operate under. But that is happening, what, at 11, did you
11,
say?
11, yes.
11 o'clock. Okay.
In the youth pavilion.
All right. Very good. So it actually is a really good program for kids.
Yeah, yeah, Jennifer has a good time with the kids. They play a game. It's really gets them engaged and gives them another way to learn about it instead of just like sitting down being lectured at.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And it is important. We joke yeah. about it, but it is important for,
yes.
for kids.
Yeah, it really is. It's a good program, and we hope they learn a little something. Even if they take away one thing, maybe
right.
maybe I'll eat broccoli for dinner tonight instead yeah. of something else.
Exactly.
It helps out.
And then also, as we were mentioning yesterday, you've got programs through the week on the four H's that make up 4-H.
Yes. So yesterday was head. We mm-hmm. did a little science experiment with elephant toothpaste. It was a lot of fun. And then today we are doing heart. We're exploring that by painting rocks so
okay.
the kids and families can take them home.
Okay.
And they can either place them around. They could place them throughout the fair, but by the time they dry, they might need to take it home and place mm-hmm. it throughout the community. Just give positive words of affirmation, nice little pictures for kids to find. And, you know, it's always fun. We have one that's painted like a piece of pizza, and kids are just ecstatic about it. They're like, I have a pizza rock. So
very cool.
Just fun activity.
And, again, these are all free for everybody
yes.
in the community. And I wonder, you know, this is maybe in some cases the first exposure that some kids have to the 4-H program and what it's all about.
Yeah, it gives them a new perspective and to show, you know, yes, we're at the fair, so it's a lot about the animals and learning about mm-hmm. that, but 4-H is so much more. It's learning about giving back to your community. It's talking about leadership, growing your own skills, whether it's through communication, helping others, all kinds of things.
To that end, make sure that when you are here at the fair, you take the time to walk through the youth building and see all of the 4-H displays from the various clubs.
Yes, so we have a variety of booths in our youth pavilion. Multiple clubs have put on a display in relation to the theme of the fair this year.
Right.
Sew it, grow it, show it. So mm-hmm. they're very interesting. A lot of sewing machines, a lot of cool displays with flowers.
Yeah.
It really shows all the activities besides just animals you can do.
When do they start planning out those booths? Because some of them... There was one over there that actually has a storm cloud watering the flowers.
Yes.
And to me, that just blew me away.
It's amazing. And seeing all the kids come and touch it is quite entertaining. Like,
yeah.
is this real? I would assume months. As soon as the theme comes mm-hmm. out, some clubs are already planning, starting to do things. There's some clubs who really like movement and engineering
yeah.
and making stuff work. And I'm sure that doesn't come overnight. So
right.
we're planning it in our office at least a few months.
And when do they start setting these up? I mean, how long has this kind of been under, you know, the fair started yesterday, but again, you don't just set these displays up and such, you know, in a day. So
we had some volunteers come, I want to believe 3 weeks ago to set up the
wow.
partitions
right.
where
right.
the booths are, and then they get 3 days to set it up
okay.
in person. But some clubs start preparing all the supplies weeks ahead of time. I've heard clubs have 2 and 3 meetings just to
yeah.
really get things hashed out.
The reason I bring all of that up is because, you know, obviously these kids put a lot of work into the displays, and so, you know, go and check it all out. Because
yeah, it's really awesome.
It's worth recognizing. It's not just, like you said, the animals are a big part of the fair, and that's the one thing that we all immediately think of, but 4-H is much more than that. So.
Yes, definitely.
And if folks have more questions, or maybe they feel inspired, they see something in the 4-H displays and they are so inclined, they want to learn more about the 4-H program, they can ask questions.
Yes,
right,
so up front we have our booths covered by advisors and groups
yep.
from the county. They can put information, ask for information there. We can get their contact information or visit our website even.
All right.
And get all the info.
Very good. Edie Gerke is with us this morning from the Hancock County OSU Extension and 4-H program. Lots of things going on here at the Hancock County Fair for kids and families. And Edie, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
A special thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow, it's another day of Good Mornings on the Go at the Hancock County Fair, and we'll get you ready for the kickoff of college football season with ESPN analyst Laura Rutledge. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.